The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys, www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Welcome, my lovely co-host, Dave Draper!
Hey! Thank you. Welcome, Duvall. That's sweet.
Should be sweet.
Considering that I was just calling you history's greatest monster before we started recording.
That's true. Well, considering we also spent like almost the entire weekend together.
Yeah, it is a miracle that
we didn't kill each other.
We didn't kill each other.
There were a couple times there where about maybe we would. Well, maybe not.
See, I didn't even have to bother. There was a couple times there you almost did yourself in.
That's true.
We'll
get to all that.
Yeah.
We'll get to all that.
Lives.
We got lots of stories from this weekend. Lots of fun toy-filled stories from this weekend. So, well, let's get news out of the way.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to start the big one.
Yeah.
Masters did it. 115.
115%, which, of course.
It took them literally all day to announce that.
Yeah, it did.
And they left the subscriptions open, by the way.
Yes, for Masters they did. While I've seen everyone say that the other two are officially canceled, Mattel did say
Mattel's actual announcement was that, especially with the DC, they were going to try to find a way to bring them back.
Right.
It might cost more.
Right.
You know,
not subscriptions. They were going to do like maybe quarterly figures or a big bundle of all the figures.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters is dead.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
That would be pointless.
Unless they've come so far in the tooling and everything that they've already got it done, they might just do it for Comic-Con next year, which, I could see them do that and the four Ghostbusters.
It would be a good Comic-Con exclusive.
It would be. It'd still be expensive.
Yeah, it'd be even more.
But, yeah, because it's Comic-Con. So.
But see, here's what bugs me about this whole thing.
Right.
Remember back in the day, well, if you're a Hasbro buyer, that includes today.
Right.
Where they just make toys and you buy them.
Exactly.
And you don't have to do this whole subscription stupid thing.
Yes.
Like, that's what bugs me, especially about DC. It's like the Masters one was something that the fans wanted initially because they were missing out on all these key characters early on because they sold out too fast.
Right,
exactly.
They
wanted a way to guarantee that they got those figures. Nobody asked for that for DC. And, frankly, Club Infinite Earths was not exactly a bunch of A-list characters. Poison Ivy is probably the biggest character to come out of that whole thing, and she's still like a B-list.
Well, but there were a couple of things like finishing off the Metal Men people wanted.
Well, I mean, some people. You like the Metal Men?
Yeah, I do.
But I don't think that was a huge. And obviously, if you're a fan of the Metal Men, that was cool. Like I'm not like I really want that Ice figure because I'm a JLI fan.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here and go there was a huge demand from Justice League International fans.
All right.
You know, I'm just saying.
Point taken.
Like the Metal Men are not exactly if they were A-list guys, they would not have been relegated to Club Infinite Earth. They would have been taken care of before.
Right.
We got
exactly.
There. You know, point I mean, taken. I think Roz and Poison Ivy are probably the biggest characters that I can think of.
Right. Well, it's like
I mean, there were a lot of B and C list. I mean, Mirror Master's a big Flash villain. We're getting Ocean Master, or we would have gotten Ocean Master as a major Aquaman villain. The 90s Aquaman, people keep making fun of that, but that was like a very big, iconic version of that character. In fact, I'm shocked it wasn't part of the regular line. They did that dopey Peter David blue outfit Aquaman.
Yeah, I know. Well, but I mean, like you said, nobody asked for that for DC. Nobody asked for it for Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Nobody was asking for it for Watchmen. They were just like, just give us the characters.
Just give us the toys. Yeah. It's just like suddenly Maddie Collector became the
subscription
place.
What happened was the higher management saw that the Master subscription did so well the first time around that they were like, well, let's just make our whole business model this way and everything we do, we'll do subscriptions and that's how people are going to get it. And so instead of, you know, Mattel going out on a limb and trying, you know, I know the cost of these figures is expensive. I know the molds are expensive. I know all that. We know that for a fact because of all the stories Dr. John has told us.
Well, I know, but at the same time, I mean, especially something like DC Universe, where and I'm not faulting Mattel for doing this because I think they did an excellent job at doing it. But I mean, it's the same body, and even with Masters, it's the same body over and over and over again.
For the most part,
there is unique tooling.
Right.
You know, there's a unique head usually for every figure, and obviously there are accessories, and there's this and there's that. But, I mean, the bulk of almost every figure...
Was the same body.
Was the same body over and over again. So, right. You know, and especially with, like... Well, again, we're ruling Masters out, so... But, you know, the other ones did have licensing fees and such.
Exactly.
I'm just saying it was DC Infinite Earth was a really bad one to do as a subscription thing because nobody wanted... Like, you wanted the Metalmen.
Right.
I want Fire and Ice.
Right.
And maybe some of the Batman characters.
Right.
Right? But, I did pick up a couple other characters, but, like, I didn't want Starman.
Exactly.
You know, I don't really want Ocean Master. And even though I just defended Aquaman, I don't really want him.
Right.
I just think he's a legitimate character choice.
Yeah.
You know, if I bought him, if he was a regular figure who came out back in the day, I wouldn't be objecting to him.
Right.
But I don't... If I could skip them, I would.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see where Mattel goes from now, because now they're just, especially with them mostly doing away with day of sales, why is MattyCollector.com still around?
Well, that's the thing. You know? If Masters hadn't made it, I think Matty Collector would have been gone.
Yeah, I do too. I think they would have sold off
the
remaining stock.
That's the only reason that it exists at this point. That and Ghostbusters replicas.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, we said that Masters was going to do it. We kind of knew... ahead of time, we were like, well, Masters will make it because it's Masters. And no matter how much, you know, people are hemming hawing about not...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Totally, like, okay, they got 100...
Totally kicked the laptop.
I know, you totally kicked
Sorry,
the laptop.
Sorry, go on.
First of all, they got less than they did last time.
Right, exactly.
Apparently, from what we've heard, the total that they needed to get, even though, you know, Mattel won't show us numbers, they did say the total was lower than
right.
last time.
Right.
They had, what, 2 extra weeks?
Yes.
Beforehand, they went, you know, 12 extra hours after the cutoff point.
Yeah, they went to the
In
last
In fact,
moment
I know someone, our friend Wheeler, subscribed after the cutoff point for
right.
his third subscription.
Right.
And the lineup, I mean, they had done everything but say, this is, you know, obviously we've mined all the A-list characters, but of
right.
everyone that's left... 2014 supposed to be the best of what's left.
Right.
And they've gone to great lengths to say, no more Star Sisters, no more
right.
Laser Lot, no more this dopey thing, no more that ridiculous thing.
Yeah, they've said by the
it's
end of...
It's all stuff that fans... May not be every fan, but it's all stuff that fans want
right.
that will be legitimate.
They said by the end of, I think, not 2014, but
no,
by 2015,
the wrap-up
off.
Plan was, yeah, everything
yeah.
will be done.
So, I mean, Masters
but they
fans...
were clear 14 was going to be... as close to A-list as you can with what
right.
we've got left over.
Right. And it's pretty much been with what they've announced so far for the most part.
And my point is, it was still like pulling teeth.
Oh, God, yes. And I think...
So when we get to 15 and it's like, you know, now we're like to the 8...
Dragstore.
Yeah, Dragstore.
Yeah. Which, I mean, a lot of people want... I mean,
there's, well,
the
I mean,
hardcore
as we said, over
Masters,
and over again, there's no character too obscure
right.
that it doesn't have some...
Right.
fan contingent out there.
And I think a lot of the completists...
And the completists and the hardcores, yeah.
A lot of the vintage guys just want all of the figures that were made in the vintage line done.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's like that with Star Wars. It's like that
yeah.
with Star Wars. It's like that with G.I. Joe.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. I will say this, and hopefully this does not make too many people mad. I am glad that the subscription went through, so now I don't have to see it on my feeds anymore. And yes, I understand you could say, well, you could just... block those people until after. Well, no, I don't want to block anybody, but it just after a while you get so tired of seeing, you know, save the line. And those of us that aren't buying, and while I, you know, admire the line and think it's still a great line, and I'm glad that it succeeded.
You know, as much as Dave hates the He-Mans, I think it's an amazing line.
Yeah, I'm glad that it succeeded. I'm just sick of hearing about it.
Well, my thing is, someone said, oh, you know. Get ready for Dave to be really upset and depressed and all freaked out when the line goes through. And here's my thing. If I really hated you guys, I'd be happy that the line went through because that means that you guys have to go through this again next year.
Yes, exactly.
In fact, I think – I was telling someone, I think PowerCon – I would almost love to go to PowerCon this year because it would be fascinating because they've got Turtles.
Right.
Which I almost think may have been a mistake. I mean, obviously, it's a huge get. But you think about it, the Turtles guys are going to be coming in there, and they're going to be like, we got a hit show,
yeah.
and we got toys in every store. Oh, no, wait, we don't, because they sell out so fast. Oh, Turtles! Meanwhile, the Masters guys are wearing, you know, big sunglasses to cover the bruises, and they're going, it only happens once a year, and Matty only does it because he loves this so much, you know. And then there's one or two Thundercats guys that are sitting in the corner, and they've had a couple before they even got there, and they're like,
yeah. Thundercats fans were like, I hate all of you.
I hate all of you. At least you have toys.
At least you have something. We have nothing but statues. Oh, God.
But, I mean, it's just, it's going to be.
We have statues and mini-mates. God.
It's going to be interesting. Like, the Turtles people are like, we're on top of the world.
Yeah.
Masters guy's like, we just squeaked through barely.
Carrie and I had an interesting conversation about that because she wanted to know why did they add Turtles. She's like, is there really that big of an audience for Turtles? And
oh,
I was
God,
like,
yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And I was like, well, they don't have their own convention. So she's like, do they need their own convention? I'm like,
yeah.
Like, they do. They've needed one for a long time now.
I'm shocked they don't have one.
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, again, I think that's one of those things. It's like, I think, you know, I've always said there's like these generational things. And I think the Turtle generation is coming up now and it's
yeah.
their time.
Yep. And, you know, and PowerCon, you know, is we're a few weeks away from it, and it's they just announced, I think either today or yesterday when we recorded this, might have been Monday of this week, they announced that Playmates will be there, and they'll have a booth set up.
Yeah, and they'll be showing off product.
They'll be showing off new product. So they said they're going to have some surprises, and that's a big thing, you know, now that you've got Mattel and you've got Playmates supporting this convention and being there and setting up. I mean, yes, it helps that they're in California.
I almost wonder if 2015 is going to be TurtleCon with Masters.
No, it'll still be PowerCon, but
okay.
They're never going to change the name
PizzaCon.
Of that. I mean, if you notice, they've dropped ThunderCon because it was PowerCon, ThunderCon.
Yeah.
And they've dropped ThunderCon altogether. Now it's just PowerCon. Right. But it's PowerCon, Masters of the Universe, She-Ra, all
right.
Thundercats,
okay.
Turtles. So.
Okay.
Although Thundercats seems to have gotten kind of shoved to the side this year a little bit.
Well, because their show died and
yes.
their toy line died.
Yep,
and
yep. So.
Like I said, there's like a couple. They're the guys that already had a few belts before they got in there.
I say give Thundercats a couple more years, and maybe the license will pop back up, and somebody will grab it and realize that Bandai screwed the pooch, and they can do it in a collector market sensibility. And
maybe
you know,
I think it'll depend on what the whole action figure landscape is in a few years.
True.
So that's.
I agree. I guess we'll see. It's one of those things. We'll just sit back and relax and. Watch and wait and see what happens.
But I do think it's interesting, you know, like, I was checking out the org every now and then to see what was going on, and there was one guy there that had bought 20 subs.
Holy! This
and
year?
Yeah.
Jesus, God almighty.
And I did the math on that. That's $10,000.
For the year?
For the year.
Jesus.
And our friend Wheeler, you know, like I said, he just picked up his third one.
Yeah.
And what I think is funny is everyone gave me so much static. You bought a second flag. You're crazy. You're out of control.
Right.
Wheeler has spent more on the 2014 sub for 12 figures, which he's going to get three times over, but
yeah.
12 figures.
Yep.
He spent more than both my flags combined.
Right. That's pretty ridiculous.
So just saying.
And understandably.
So maybe everyone can just back off old Dave and maybe start taking a long, hard look at some of these Masters people.
Yeah, the subscription, I mean, when you do the math in your head, like Wheelor, like Dan, who was giving one of his subscriptions away to viewers this year.
Yeah.
Out of the kindness of his heart and his own pocket, you start doing the math and the fact that he had two subscriptions. He has, you know, yes, he gets figures for review, but he's paying for two subscriptions, one because he keeps and the other one that he's been giving away. And you do the math on that and you're like, good God.
It's $501.
Yeah, it's
for
like
the subscription
Jesus
this year.
God almighty. I don't know, man. I'm very happy, though. I'm happy for Masters fans. I'm sad for DC fans. Ghostbusters fans, come on. They wasn't going to happen. Not
yeah.
at that price point. Not what they were offering. There was no way. But DC was kind of sad to see go, especially they were so close. 63%.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks, but.
And, you know, the thing is. I mean, they actually said, I guess, at Comic-Con something to the effect of, you know, well, this is it for 6-inch DC figures. This is the last.
Right.
So.
And considering that they've already got the two-ups, and they've done the two-ups. They already had prototypes of all those figures at Comic-Con. You know that the tooling and the molds are done.
Yeah.
So
well, they've always kind of hedged about the Comic-Con stuff.
Right.
Like those might actually happen someday.
Yeah, the stuff they showed is probably going to end up coming out one way or another. So just a matter of time. But I am. I'm happy that it succeeded, that Masters is going to stick around for another year. And it's you know, the stuff they showed off and the stuff they'll probably show off at PowerCon, they'll show off a few more figures. The stuff that they're holding for Toy Fair that they'll show for the rest of the year is big. You know, they'll show off the Comic-Con exclusive probably around that time. So,
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting to see what's remaining, you know, for 14 to get people excited, to hopefully push to 15 to finish off the line completely. So,
yeah,
then maybe everyone can... Leave poor Scott Knightlick alone. then again, he's brought a lot of that pain upon himself. So
yeah.
So Dave and I had a good weekend.
Yep,
as we talked about. We spent all day Saturday filming board episodes.
Yes,
which,
we did.
Which was a lot of fun.
Most of which involved going up and down stairs. Or Jason driving my brand new car.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Sort of. We won't, we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. But yeah, Dave's car was, at one point you were going to drive off and there was another car coming the other way. And that,
yeah.
That did not make Dave very happy.
No, Dave was very scared.
My favorite quote is you going, where are the hazard lights? And I'm like, I've never had a hazard. And of course it dawned on me, like after I got in the car, it's that big triangle thing.
Yes. That's what I was looking for. I was like, where is
it? It's right there in the middle of the dashboard.
I missed it. Yeah, dang it. Well. We shot board all day, all day. Me, Dave, Pixel Dan.
Yep.
We shot Dave's episode, which is late in the season. Yeah, part of his episode. There's still some to film. Yeah, we still got to film some of it. Filmed there was a lot of setups.
There were. It wasn't as bad as last time where there was like a lot. I mean, there were a lot of setups and teardowns.
Yeah,
and,
yep.
Or maybe the time before. I mean, the first time we did it, there was a learning curve. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's been a learning curve all throughout shooting this show, and the fact on how to do it better come the second season when we start shooting that. I know now to make sure this is what I've got planned out for cold openings, for all the setups. Do all the setups in one recording, and then all the board game playing in the second recording, and just get it all. You know,
that's actually a pretty good call.
Yeah. So this time we kind of jumped around. I realized that I missed some shots. There was some stuff I had to get. There were
some pickups.
There was some continuity stuff. Some stuff to make stuff flow better. It's been a lot of learning, and I still don't have an entire episode edited yet. But there's still a few weeks. So
yeah.
But we'll get there.
Tick-tock.
Yeah, I know. That's my goal this weekend is to do nothing but sit down and edit reviews and board and get all that squared away because I don't have any plans. No flea markets, no estate sales.
I'll be in Indiana.
Yep. Dave will be at CoilCon.
Saturday I'll be at CoilCon. Saturday.
So that'll be fun. But we also went to – Dave and I decided we were going to go to the third Sunday marketplace that's in Bloomington, Illinois every third Sunday.
Well, it was more like you're like, I want to go to the third market. I haven't gone to the third market.
And yeah.
Kerry was like, I don't want to go. Well, like, hey, Dave, you want to go? And I'm like, hey, I got nothing to do.
Yeah.
I got no life.
Well, I'd been complaining.
I'm just so lonely. Take me with you.
I'd been complaining on Mary that we hadn't got to go to the third Sunday because we always had something going on. And I was like, I really wouldn't, you know, I would like to go to a third Sunday this year before it's over this year because, you know, there's not a lot of toy vendors there, but usually always
there
find
was a fair
something.
Amount. I was surprised because we had gone last year.
Right.
And there was like one. I mean, there were a couple things here and there, but I mean, it really wasn't that much. And there was one guy who had stuff.
Yeah,
he's apparently the guy that's always got stuff there.
Yeah.
So I was really super unimpressed. So I really didn't bring that much money.
Right.
So, but this time I honestly thought there was a decent amount of stuff there.
Yeah.
It may not have been the greatest stuff, but there was stuff. There was stuff to look at. Let me put it that way.
I mean, it's a big flea market.
It's a flea market.
It's a big open air kind of flea market with some buildings and such. And there are a lot of vendors. And it is like a lot of crafty, a lot of flea market kind of stuff, antiques.
Yeah.
But you do stumble across the tables that do have the occasional toys. Sometimes some of the dealers have just like a few items. You're like, oh, these are cool. And you look at the prices and you're like, oh, you're an antique dealer, aren't you?
Yeah.
Son of a, my God, let's keep moving. But then you find tables of, you know, the first table we went to, just a lady had just
bins and bins
of like loose figures and
2 for $3 or something crazy. I mean, it was real super cheap.
I had Instagrammed and tweeted a picture of a knockoff Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat.
I don't think she is a knockoff, actually. I think there was a line of those Hasbro figures that were like a weird scale.
Really?
I believe. Now we're going to get angry.
Yeah.
You're
I was
insane.
Gonna say.
No, I think I read about that somewhere.
Weird. Because she was huge.
Well,
like,
she is huge. Yeah.
She's like almost.
She's standing next to all the other ones like, I am giant Sonya Blade.
She's almost like 5.5 inches, isn't she?
Something like that.
Yeah, she's big. I was like, oh my God.
Yes, okay.
Shut up. I bought a bag full of random toys that Dave...
Here we go. Yeah, like that first vendor, there was this bag of because they were all bagged. This bag of stuff, and it had a little Sektar bug in it and some other stuff. And Jason's like, I just... Random like what?
Random like quarter, like they were like little quarter machine toys and stuff like that. bouncy balls. And
well, I don't know what they were because you couldn't get rid of them fast enough. It's like, I just want the bug. And then immediately you threw them away. And I'm like, oh, no. And for the rest of the day, I had Jesse's song stuck in my head.
When Duvall loves you.
When Duvall loves you, everything is beautiful. Every hour of every day.
Oh.
It's like, oh, no. When he loved you.
Oh, man. I didn't want all the rest of that crap. Dang it.
Oh, poor crap.
But we did find some other... I mean, we...
Dave, you found a lot of stuff.
Dave got to be Carrie on this trip and stand there while I counted pieces out to a puzzle.
Yeah, that was epic.
Well, it was a Centurion's puzzle.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, yeah, I got
people are going, oh, he's an idiot. Oh, it was a Centurion's puzzle. He should have said that to begin with.
I asked the lady, I was like, is it complete? She's like, you know what? I've never counted it. I'm like,
she said she meant to, and she didn't get around to it.
I was like, do you care if I do? And she's like, no, here, take our chair. Sit down. I'm like, okie dokie. So I sit there and counted out all 200 pieces, and Dave just stood there and is like,
I was okay for like the first 5 or 6 minutes. And then it started to drag.
Yeah, well, I was counting as fast as I could. Yeah, it was. I was surprised at the amount of stuff that we found, and one of the things that we found was something.
I was going to say you got to get to that.
Oh yeah, was Milky the magical milking cow from Kenner? How awesome! I've been looking for her since I had Gobbles.
I know.
I got Gobbles, and I was like, I want Milky the magical milking cow. I must have her.
Well, at one point, I like had to walk away because like I realized I was gonna be the anti-wing man. I was like, but oh my god, you really need that because you got the cat, you got the thing, and you really got to get. And I'm like, oh wait,
they had it. I saw it. It had a lot of yellowing from like the glue and stuff because she's all white.
She's
so,
mostly white.
Yeah. So the glue has started to yellow the plastic, and I was like, okay, how asking them, well, how much? And the lady was like 15, and I looked at her and kept looking at her and looking her over, and it was kind of gross. She needed cleaned up. And I was like, she's got a lot of yellowing, and like her ears are starting to. The plastic on the ears is starting to corrode and become sticky and nasty. I'm like, just like, would you do 10? And she gave me the most adamant. She was like, no. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, then here's 15. Thank you very much. I'm moving away from you quickly. And they had a lot of antique, like crazy 60s and 70s toys. Like they had a table that folded out, and it was basically a metal like an old 60s. Early 70s metal table that folded out, but instead of it just being a regular tabletop, it had the Monopoly
board on it. Was that at the cow place or was that?
That was at the cow place.
Okay.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen that before. I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool. They wanted a lot of money for that, though.
Yeah. So I bought Bessie and Milky the magical milking cow.
Milky had a trough.
Milky did have her trough. I was very happy. Jumping ahead a little bit, when we got home, I tested her, and she still works.
Yep. Oh, that was fun to watch, too, because Carrie was sitting there on the counter, and you're, like, getting water everywhere, and it's leaking out of her. And
she's like, oh, my God.
She was super thrilled. Yeah, she was super thrilled when she saw it. She was super thrilled when she realized that it went to the, quote, stupid goat.
Yes. Well, she knew what it was, because I pulled it out, she went, oh, God, that thing. I was like, I found it, and she's like, oh, yay. Yeah. So happy for
I know.
She was not. She was not thrilled, to say the least.
Not super thrilled, yeah.
No. We did. We found a lot of stuff. Dave found quite a few things.
Yeah, like there was one table that had like just a ton of figures. They almost all didn't have their accessories.
Yep.
And some of them were really kind of dirty and bad shape.
Yeah.
But they were all. There was a ton of stuff to look at.
And they wanted like
I got a bunch.
They wanted like $3 a piece or two for $5.
Two for
which
five
was kind of meh. $2.50 a figure. I guess not terrible.
It's not awful.
No, but I bought a bunch of like Hasbro WWF figures from the 80s and.
Yeah.
Some police academy that one of them I stole from Dave.
I guess, no, you didn't steal them from that place.
No, it wasn't that place.
Guy. It was the guy that's usually there.
Gotcha.
But, I found Commissioner Gordon from the animated series
yeah.
which was only included in like a 5 or 6 pack.
Yeah.
And there's a Kenner Doomsday that I've always wanted to have. So, from my point of view, $2.50 for him was a steal.
It was a steal, yeah.
I wanted a Ghostbusters Lewis Tully to put in my fire station.
Right, yeah. Shut up.
And I forget what the other one was, but like those three actually I was really happy to get.
Yeah.
So, and I think the Gordon especially for $2.50 was probably a really good deal.
Yeah. I found a couple of like Peter Pan figures.
Yeah, you got a couple of Hook figures.
Yep, because I had most of the accessories for those figures, so I picked those up so I could put them back on my shelf. because I was like, where are all the figures? I'm like, I have all the accessories for every figure, but I don't have the figures. I'm like, awesome. So yeah, I bought them. I bought a Fright Features Ray Stantz from Ghostbusters. They had an Egon, but the Egon's tie was broke, like always. His tie is always broke, it seems. So yeah, that vendor was kind of neat to pick up the stuff that I picked up was fun. And then we continued journeying it on, and we found another booth. The guy that's always there that just has like a random assortment of like boxes full of stuff.
And yeah.
We found some stuff. Dave found some parts to...
Guess what?
Not the right one, huh?
Not the right color.
Well, it was a gamble.
Apparently, I got the rarest colored Scorponok and then dropped the freaking Justice League figure on it.
Fun.
Yeah, so I'm super thrilled that all the other ones are all solid black and mine's like light purple.
Yeah. Dave bought some Scorponok parts from Beast Wars.
Yeah, because I was hoping to be able to swap out the broken... I mean, I've done it before. I've done it already, but the colors don't quite match.
Right.
So I was hoping that this one would be the right color, but nope.
It was
Nope.
But yeah, that's where Dave also found a Police Academy
figure.
That
is where I found a Police Academy figure.
And Dave goes, hey, isn't this a Police Academy figure? And handed it to me, and I went, yoink!
I didn't hand it to you. I guess I did steal it. You did literally just take it from me.
Yeah, I was like, yoink! Thank you! And Dave was like, ah! And I was like, that's payback.
Yeah.
It's for stealing my G.I. Joe gift.
Yeah, I was deeply hurt that I didn't get the figure from the toy line that I don't collect at all. From the movies
well,
I don't particularly enjoy.
Let's put it out there for everyone to hear is that Dave cannot be trusted when it comes to me and toys and Dave around toys. Because Dave sometimes may cross his mind where he goes, I'm going to buy this just to be a dick.
That's true.
That's how our friendship works, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it was the
Toys R Us.
It was Toys R Us Ultra Magnus that they've got.
Yep.
This schwanky.
Yeah, the schwanky Japanese
Ultra Magnus.
That's like $60.
That's like $60. And I was like, I sent you a picture and you're like, oh, I can't get that. And I was like, you know, if this was any other month, I would get it just to be a dick.
That's how our friendship works, ladies and gentlemen.
See, pretty much.
Best friends. That's how
we're
work.
Like brothers. And if you've ever known brothers, they exist in a constant state of war with each other.
I'm still pissed that Dave stole my G.I. Joe game.
Seriously?
No, not really.
Okay.
No. Because it'll end up on an episode of Bored.
Dude. Kenner Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I know.
You're lucky you got out of that basement with like your nose being broken.
Poor Dave. Dave did try to reacquire the Kenner Raiders of the Lost Ark board game.
Oh, yeah. I made I tried to shove it under my shirt there.
His partner in crime, Pixel Dan, he was like, gimme.
Yeah.
I was like, no, cannot do that. So, yeah, we spent a little time, a little money at the third Sunday. Then I was like, well, let's go because there's a comic book shop in Normal, which is just outside of Bloomington, which is supposed to be part of Bloomington Normal. But it's called Acme Comics, and I was like, well, they don't open till I think it was like noon.
Yeah.
And it was like 10:45, and I was like, I know how we can go kill an hour. So Dave and I just drove, you know, almost behind the third Sunday to a degree and went to a little antique store that we'd been to.
The Bronze Giraffe.
The Bronze Giraffe.
That's where
you
got your
Drench
Power
from Power
Lord.
Lords. Yeah, okay. That's where I found Drench for a buck. So we go in there and wander around, and weren't really finding a whole lot. Found some Happy Meal toys and stuff that didn't have, and...
Yeah, okay, you know how you were just saying that sometimes, well, actually you were saying something different, but you know how sometimes you'll get something and Dave will go, ooh.
Right.
I have to admit, watching you, when we got home, I'm skipping ahead, but when we got home and you were putting together that Reptar Land.
Yeah, I found Rugrats Reptar
Land
figures from Burger King.
I'm like, that's neat.
Yeah.
I may pick that up. I may look and
those,
see.
Those figures are pretty cool.
That's a neat little thing.
Yeah, that is, it's when it's all together and all five or eight of them are together, it's really cool. And that's like a lot of them. Like I have the Tarzan one that's like that from McDonald's that you hit one and it goes and just hits and they all go off. There's a Extreme Goofy Movie one that's just like a circle of guys on skateboards and you press like all the buttons form one main button and you just press them and they all go off at the same time. And I got a bunch of those like that I love those Happy Meal sets that all connect and they all do something together. Those make me smile.
But that looked neat.
Yeah. And I didn't know they made that, so I was like, ooh, neat.
But then we were walking around and we found this one dealer that had apparently he was new.
He was new, yeah.
But he had a ton of old board games.
Oh my god, he had some cool games.
Yeah, and like Jason made this little noise because Jason's whole thing was he was going to get in and out without spending any money. And then there was like, and you weren't even going to buy it. You were buying when we were at the actual flea market. You weren't looking at any board games,
right?
You're like one or two would pop up. You're like, I'm not getting board games,
right?
And then we saw this guy's stock, and there was this little squeak of. Of surrender.
And I had to look to see what the prices were, and they were
They were reasonable.
They were super reasonable.
It was like $5 or $6 a pop.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, oh, well, crap. I have
I think
to buy
there
these.
Were one or two that were like kind of high. But
so I bought like, was it, why did the chicken cross the road? Or chicken run? Or why did the chicken cross the road? Something like that.
It was something. It was no, Parker it wasn't Brothers either game. Of those, but that's the basic idea that yeah. the chicken crosses the road.
I bought that. I bought a... About a CB radio game.
The CB
which is
game is
awesome.
So awesome. That's such like a total 70s time capsule.
I know. It's going to be awesome. I bought another
and it
game
looks like the most complicated game to play in the history of the world, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty complicated. And then I saw, you know, Dave found a C-Lab 2020 game.
Which I was really excited about because it's based on the actual show.
Right.
From the 70s that they turned into C-Lab 2021.
Right.
But this is a licensed product for the original show, which is very obscure.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And then I found a Mary Poppins game from the release of that movie.
Yeah.
That I think Milton Bradley or somebody did it, but it didn't look like it had ever been used. Like the Mary Poppins and the Burt, there's a little plastic carousel they go on that's actually your spinner, and they look like they had never been punched out. And the guy only wanted $15 for it. And I was like, oh, well, that's – well, I can't leave that here.
Yeah.
That's going to have to come home with me.
Well, you also got a cool game called Quicksand.
That was the other one I was looking for.
Because like the player pieces are like made out of five parts, and as you move along the board, the you take parts away, so the players get smaller and smaller because they're sinking in quicksand.
I know, it's awesome. You take parts away and put parts back. And
I actually think that the two non-brand games that you got are the neatest looking ones.
Yeah.
The chicken one and the quicksand one look like tremendous fun.
Yeah, and the CB one.
The CB one's cool, but like that just looks so complicated.
Well, the inside, like normally in those old games, they have this cardboard piece that doesn't really do anything. Sometimes they put rules on it. Sometimes it's just a spacer.
Yeah.
But this one had a glossary of like every CB term known to man, and I was like, I hope you don't have to use all those in the game. This is not going to go well at all for any episode of Board in the future. But yeah, the Mary Poppins game is really cool. So of course I counted up Dave's pieces on his C-Lab to make sure they were all there because they didn't really. Didn't really say. There
were
no parts
there was
list,
no listing of what the parts were.
I figured it out just reading the instructions and going, oh, okay, well, you're supposed to have three of these and four of these. And yeah. I'm like, oh, it's all here. So, you know, I put the games under my arm and go wandering off. And
yep, it did.
I'll be.
We kept going, and then there was one more aisle, like, right along the front of the store.
Yeah.
And right before you got there, there was this horrible, horrible crash.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and there you are standing in a huge pile of broken stuff.
Apparently the board game snagged a jewelry turner, that like a jewelry display that shouldn't have been on the thing that it was on to begin with, or that close to the edge. It should have been somewhere a little bit more safe and secure. And yeah, that thing toppled because the board games caught it, and it just went flying. Because once one set of beads...
that was the thing. Once you knock something over, all those beads were pulling everything over.
Yeah, so... And all you do is just stand there and be like,
There was at least one Christmas ornament.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Radko, little Radko bear.
Yep, well.
That you murdered.
I did.
You just were on like a spree.
I destroyed
and
stuff.
And it hasn't ended yet.
I know.
There's a dolphin in your truck that's got a date with landfill.
But yeah, I was just like, And the ladies were really nice. I was like,
because one detail that we kind of left out is there are all these signs posted on the front of the store. When we were walking in on the door, saying, you know, no more back because of all the accidents, more backpacks and large purses because they keep smashing into things.
Right. So, and this was product from the actual thing, so I couldn't technically get in trouble for it. And they blamed it on the dealer. They were like, well, we've warned that dealer many times to move the stuff away from the front of the aisle and move it back someplace more secure, and she never has. So that's her own fault. But yeah, I offered to help clean up, and I kept offering, and they were like, no, we'll take care of it. I'm like, you sure? I'm like, give me a broom and let me sweep at least. I'm like, so I was like, okay, well, let me pay for the stuff. Let me get out of here before something else happens.
Yep.
And then something else happened. I was like, I got to get out of this building.
What'd you do?
I didn't do anything, but the ladies started. And I was like, I'm contagious. I need to go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, ring me up, put them in a sack. Let's go. And then I went outside and what did the girl say to you? Something about, well, I
made a joke. Oh, something's going to smash through the window now. And she's like, no, there's nothing out there. And I'm like, he'll find it.
Yeah, I was like, you'd be surprised.
He'll find it.
So after destroying a portion of the antique mall, which
and
is
thus
a first
this,
for me.
This episode, its title, Smashy Smashy.
Smashy Smashy.
Smashy Smashy.
Yeah, so after doing that, we decided, well, maybe it's time to move on and try to find Acme Comics.
Yeah, break some new place.
Yeah, let's go break some new place. So we journeyed into Normal because we'd been told about, at least I'd been told about Acme Comics.
Yeah, you've been told.
how they had gotten some cool stuff in, and you know they usually get cool stuff in toy wise and
okay.
I kind of expected something bigger.
Who was this person? So I can...
somebody on Twitter.
All right. Well,
I walked in there, and you know, Dave and I walked in there. We kind of looked around. And we were
We were still early.
Right.
So we saw the window, and there was this really cool display in the window of all these toys.
Yeah.
And we were still too early, so we went. We got some lunch at Quiznos, or not Quiznos,
Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's. And then we came back.
Right.
I just want the listener to have a full.
Gotcha. So yeah, Dave and I walk in the door, and we kind of there's a kid working there, and he just kind of looks at us like we shouldn't be there.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that, but
yeah,
fair enough.
He was kind of spacey. He was just like,
well,
he was
kind of spacey, but yeah, whatever.
I was like, all right. And we kind of look around, and I saw a few things right off the bat, and then you start going farther in the store, and you're like, well, there's a case of toys, and there's some random stuff here.
There's some stuff on the ceiling.
That's about it. I'm like, all right.
Of course, the case was blocked because his mom had her little children
parked
in front of them.
Lady, get out of my way. I want to look at toys.
And there was a carousel that had mostly, like, one side was mostly newer stuff, and the other side was Power of the Force.
Yeah. So, not a lot, although Dave found...
I got a Tiger Rat for a pretty good price.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe Tiger Rat.
Yeah. Which he'd been looking for a while.
I've been waiting to find one for a decent price.
Right.
So. I got something else there, too. Oh, I got a Molotov figure from
Yes.
And then I got a graphic novel.
Molotov PPK tees.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
Family friendly there.
Family friendly.
Yeah. So it was a fun weekend for Dave and I.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very entertaining. And again, we
drove back to your place, and I got to watch your lovely wife.
Yeah. Because again, I bought all the toys.
Yeah, you did. You bought most of the toys.
Yeah. This time it wasn't bad. It was only like 4 bags full of stuff.
Yeah.
And they weren't really that full.
They were fairly full.
Yeah. So well, they've all got homes now.
Yeah.
They've all been put away.
90% made it home somewhere and weren't cast away.
Yeah, some of it's in a trash can.
Some of it's in a trash can.
Probably in a landfill now. Sorry, toys. You just weren't what I was wanting. I'm not collecting quarter machine toys. I just wanted the Sektar insect. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. He was in really nice shape.
I could have just given her the bag back and said, here, resell it again.
Here, take this. I just want this bug. Nah.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's how I roll.
It's like no one will have you now.
I'm horrible like that.
Wow.
I am Sid from Toy Story.
You're a monster.
I am a monster. That being said, we've got all the fun stuff out of the way. I do want to take a moment before we get to the fan questions this week to kind of talk about our friend Das, A. Das Baron, which we mentioned last week that his father was not doing well. A. Das' father did pass away. They had services for him on Saturday. Friend of the podcast and the site, Mike Lacey, actually ventured to Ados's neck of the woods and was there for Das and gave him a big hug for us. So we thank Mike for that because Dave and I could not, unfortunately, in the span of time, could not make it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, as much as we wanted to, it couldn't happen in that time of frame. So,
you know, our hearts were with you.
Yep. Our hearts were with you, and Mike gave you a big old bear hug for us. So, but, you know, we want to thank the listeners and thank all the fans for reaching out to Das and, you know, giving him your wealth, you know, your thoughts and your prayers and everything. We appreciate that as hosts of this show. And Das will be back with the new thoughts here soon.
Yeah.
I don't think he's coming back this week. So if you happen to hear thoughts with Ados, it's because Das decided
something popped up at the last minute.
Das decided he wanted to say something. So as of right now, as we're recording this, I have no word from Das, which is fine because I told Das to take.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's make it to fan questions because apparently I just got a text from my wife telling me the youngest dog's back is bleeding. So.
Oh dear God.
Yeah, so let's get to some fan questions.
Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
All right.
Woohoo.
Fan questions. Let's see. This first one comes from Chris Joyce. He says, hey, guys, a question for each of you. Jason, last fall you were talking about getting your collection under control by focusing on two or three areas and cutting out items that didn't fit.
Ha!
Since then, you've been on a bit of a spree, picking up a little bit of everything on a regular basis, and it seems like your passion for the hobby has been kickstarted. What do you attribute to this? I don't know. I can't really think of any one thing other than I just got passionate again. I mean, you know, you start – I think a lot of it had to do with me working from home, and I don't have to worry about an office, and I get to be around the stuff more often and do more. And, you know, we're constantly buying stuff to continue collection expansion because it's a popular series on the site. So it's like, well, I got to keep buying stuff for that.
Yeah.
So I think really it's just been the website that's really fueled it. I mean, I'm still not buying a ton of new toys, but the stuff that I am buying is really fueled my passion again, and I'm really passionate about this. And the people I've met, you know, the people I get to hang out with, the people I talk to, you know, that really, really fuels someone's passion for certain things like this. So it's been that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I think. He says, Dave, I know you've dipped your toe into the Hot Toys pool with the 89 Batman and Joker figures. Seeing as how the 89 Batman film is special to you, have you considered picking up the Hot Toys Batmobile? I've heard you say that
no.
You prefer and focus on the basic mainstream type toys you grew up with, but would you consider cuts in that area to splurge on something as high-end as the 89 Batmobile?
No. No, for two reasons. Number one, it's like, what, $500?
Yeah.
Or it was. You know, now if it's sold out, you got to get it. Number two, it's a coffee table. Like, I you know, I have a hard enough I just got the 66 Batmobile from Toys R Us. I don't know where I'm putting that.
Right.
You know, I'm still not 100% sure where that's going. So, no, it would just sit on the floor, and I don't want anything sitting on the floor down there.
Yeah.
So, I would, in a perfect world where I yes. won the lottery and had a custom-built house with a ginormous basement, I would have the 89 Batmobile from Hot Toys.
Good call.
On, like, a pedestal or something, but no.
So, and Chris says, keep
and
up
I
the
have
great
the Kenner.
Content.
I have the Kenner and Toy Biz one.
Yes.
Anyway.
He says, keep up the great content.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We will. We shall try our best. Although, sometimes. Let's see. We've got.
No, this one's fine. We're doing fine.
Okay. We've got a couple more. Actually, Austin Beatty, who we went through all the questions, sent some clarification about the ACBA question from last week.
Okay. I'm surprised we didn't get any blowback from that, but apparently nobody listens to the show from there. So,
he says, you both talked about sometimes posing your figures and Dave setting up figures with almost a storyline in your own mind with the Joe flag. That's why I brought up the question. Like Dave, I specifically joined the group to post photos, but unfortunately, like Dave, it did feel a bit clicky, where they would heap praise on popular members' photos and tear down the newer or less experienced posters, sometimes without being helpful, which is just off-putting. So, he agrees with
okay.
New questions for you both. There's a few here. So, have you ever seen pictures or video of a certain toy and thought, that looks awesome, I'll get that? Then once you see it in stores, you start to notice it's not as good as you hoped. For me, I was looking forward to the Batman 66 line, but once I saw figures of the photos of the figures and the price point, which is around £20 or $30 for him, I said I just couldn't justify the cost for what looks like a cheaply made figure.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly can't come up with any specific... I will say that I was a little disappointed with the Riddler from that line.
Right.
Just because of the way the facial sculpt is. Because he doesn't look like the... He looks like Frank Gorshin, but he doesn't look like the Riddler. Because the Riddler's always got that crazed glee thing going on.
Exactly.
And this figure doesn't. Honestly, you know, history's replete with seeing stuff and going, oh, that looks really cool. And then you get it home, and it's not as cool as you were hoping.
I think for me, it's the Thundercats line for Bandai, because the pictures looked amazing. And then once you get the figures in your hand, you're like, oh, this is garbage.
Yeah.
Like the classics figures, it's like, why do all these figures have unpainted joints? You know, why are all the pins painted a different color than they should be? It's like, what is happening at Bandai? What are you doing? You're screwing this up. And, of course, they did. But that was something for me that I was like, oh, these are not good. Not good at all. Quench my thirst there. And he wants to say, have you ever seen a toy that looked terrible in photos or video, only for you to find it and say, this actually looks quite good, and have ended up buying it?
Again, if I had more time, I could come up with one or two. I'm sure I have. I know that one figure that I've sort of gone back and forth on is the White Queen from, Hasbro's initial Marvel Legends line.
Oh.
I did not think it was that bad initially.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've gone back and done a new one who looks much, much better.
Right.
I go back and forth on that one. I mean, it's not great. I mean, she's not...
Right.
She's not sexy Emma Frost.
Right.
But I don't think it's quite as horrible as people say.
I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. If I think of something, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
says, have you ever been burned by a toy purchase? For example, the Motu Classics fans feel extremely annoyed that they spent $30 plus on a figure, only for it to turn up later at a big store, the Big Lots store, for a third of the price, when Mattel supposedly said the figures were sold out on their site. Well, yes, they did, but they also said they were selling that stuff to Big Lots, like, in January. Nobody listened, so.
Yeah. Did they? Well, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, see, that's it. That's just
I'm not a Masters guy, so I don't follow the news. But
Nightlick made it a big point that anything that was left over from the day after Thanksgiving sale, they were selling to closeout retailers. So, have you ever bought something from one store seller only to find it a few days or weeks later for a much cheaper price? And what is
constantly, constantly? And I can give you a Masters version of that. I really wanted Rattler.
Right.
Who, like, was a really super rare figure, apparently. And I got him for what I thought was a really good deal. And then, like, what, a month and a half later, he's a day of sale, whatever thing. I mean, he just was up on Maddie Collector for regular price.
Right.
So.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, poop.
There's been a few times where, like, auctions I bought, and then a couple days later, something pops up for a buy it now for way cheaper. And you're just like, oh, my God, my luck. Not in a long time, though. That was back when I didn't really have any patience for toys, and I was just
You tend to be cheap anyway, so
yes,
frugal. We'll
say. Frugal.
So you don't throw a lot of money around. I think it happens to me much more than it happens to you.
Right. And he says, recently I picked up the Batman Unlimited Zur-En-Arr Batman figure.
Yep.
As it looks so gaudy with the strange colors and the tattered makeshift costume, where you can see the outfit's been badly sewn together. I like things like this that are just a bit off from the normal. Why have another regular Batman figure when you can have one based on a storyline where Batman is driven insane, high on drugs, and left to make a makeshift costume from items found on the street with the help of his imaginary friend from the fifth dimension? I doubt Mattel or anyone would ever make this figure again, so to be able to own something so out of my collection, I just couldn't pass it up. My question is, have you ever bought a similar figure, something that looks so awful or strange, a color scheme, or just the actual figure looks so strange, or has an odd gimmick that you said to yourself, I have to have this?
You know, ironically, I have the DC Direct Bat-Zaro.
Right.
Which I got a couple years ago, because at the time I was like, no one's ever going to make a Bat-Zaro again, because he was very obscure. He was in one story ever, you know, and I love the idea of a Batman Bizarro, and I love the story he was in. And, you know, ironically, he's now the last figure of the Infinite Earths. He'll literally be the last figure of the Infinite Earths subscription.
Right.
But I do that all the time. And there's always, like, oddball things that I buy. I have the Zur-En-Arr Batman.
Right.
Because I also like that storyline. I do that. I will get oddball things just because they're weird or whack. I would say a lot of my Masters collection that I have are because they're weird characters. You know, I'm not a Masters collector, but I'll get guys because, like, Count Marzo is really cool. He could be a Doctor Strange villain.
Right.
The Snake Men are really cool. They could, you know, be some other thing.
Yeah.
You know, I do impulse buys like that.
Yeah. As for me, Gobbles.
Yeah, Gobbles, definitely.
When I saw Gobbles, I was like, I don't know what it is, but I got to have it. I was like, it's $10. I'm buying it. I must have it. It must go home with me. I will find a home for it because it is too odd to not buy.
Yep.
Mike Lacey, MLacey91 says, hey, gentlemen, at this point, we know whether or not the Mattel sub went through, and it did. Seeing as this is the
I wasn't sure we were going to know. I saw that question.
I know. Seeing as this is now the second year in a row of nightmarish scare tactics and Scott Nightlick beating us over the head that it's all our fault if the line dies.
He only does that because he loves you.
Personally, I believe that 2014 is a go either way. Scott continues to tell us that Motu is such a small line in the grand scheme of things and is barely on Mattel's radar. Wouldn't it be better if Mattel just licensed Masters out to the Four Horsemen and allowed them to continue the Motu line, funded through Kickstarter, seeing as their Gothtropolis Ravens line is the most successful toy line ever done through the program? This way, fans will be happy because it ensures stability in the sculpting by retaining the Horsemen, and it eliminates all the risk on Mattel's behalf. Win-win. It'll never happen.
Never happen.
What, Mattel will not let those figures...
Would never let that license go like that. Never. No. I mean, it's weird because you can talk about the Stactions, which NECA got.
Right.
But I think as just an actual line... Full speed ahead, no.
No, it'll never happen.
No.
No, it would be better, but it'll never happen.
It'll never happen, you know, and because the thing is, the worst-case scenario would be that the Four Horsemen do a great job and show up Mattel.
Right, and Mattel doesn't want that.
Yeah.
So, Nightmare10880 says, hey, guys, another great show, and thanks for answering my question. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Did you have another question?
I'm reading. I got to read it because it's another one of those I fully expect Masters to go through and Ecto blah, blah, blah. Let's see. He goes, what I was wondering in regards to the license lines like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future that Maddie has, how long does it take for these type of licenses to revert back to their main right holders, especially since Mattel isn't doing anything figure-wise with them?
I don't know. It depends on the contract.
Depends on the contract.
I think Star Wars is up to 2020 now.
Yeah.
So
Mattel's never made any of that public.
Yeah, they usually don't.
Contract rates are, but I would imagine it was probably a 5-year contract kind of thing. So who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? This is also, I've asked this in a couple of places, but since Bandai America still holds the rights to Thundercats, can Bandai Japan make Thundercats figures under the SH Figure Arts brand of highly detailed and articulated collector's figures? I think they still have to go through Warner Brothers on that because it doesn't matter. I mean, if Bandai America or Bandai Japan, the figures were originally released under a contract, probably written just for the U.S. and European marketplaces. So the Asian marketplaces were not included in that contract. So it would have to be something that would have to be relicensed and recontract and all that stuff.
Doesn't sound like anybody would want to bother.
Right. And it doesn't sound like – and it sounds like Bandai Japan's doing – you know, they're doing – well enough with all of their Japanese lines, they don't have to worry about trying to get American lines to do something with. Would it be cool? Yeah, it'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, regarding the SH Figure Arts Mighty Morphin line and Sailor Moon lines, these have been two of my dream lines that I've always wanted to see happen but really never thought we'd see. And I pre-ordered the Dragon Tommy the Green Ranger figure for Amazon. I'm trying to decide who I should pre-order, the remaining Power Ranger or Sailor Moon figures, Amazon or Big Bad. I bought stuff from Amazon over the years, but the Green Ranger was my first pre-order with them, and I've never done anything with Big Bad. So I was wondering, what are your opinion of these two of them was, and which ones do you guys prefer using if you do use either? Well, remember, our sponsor is actually Crazy King, but since Crazy Kings don't sell the Figure Arts figures yet, all of my
I rarely go to Amazon for toys.
Yeah.
I will say that principally because most of their actual sellers are other stores that go through Amazon.
Yes.
And therefore have much higher prices.
Yeah.
Even though it's not one of our sponsors, I do like Big Bad. I do like ordering from them. It's a very easy process. If something comes up and you have to cancel an order, it's very easy.
Right.
I've talked to them and they're, you know, generally they have very good customer service in my opinion. Stuff gets here, even though it's from California, it can get here pretty – sometimes it can take a while, but it usually gets here pretty fast.
Exactly.
I like Big Bad. I think it's a good store.
It's probably one of the easiest companies to deal with, too.
Yes.
So I would say that's your route. That's your route.
If you can't go through Crazy Kings of Toys
– go through Big Bad.
Big Bad.
Yeah. Yoda Soup says, DeVault, favorite G.I. Joe and Star Wars figure.
Well, he also asks me what my favorite Brave Star and Filmation Ghostbusters. I can say with Brave Star, it's probably 30-30.
Right.
Because I think that's neat that it's a horse and it comes into a guy and he's got at least in the cartoon, he did the thing where he spins the gun around and it's really cool.
Yes.
Honestly, I really don't want to start beef again with another group of fanatics, but I don't really care for Filmation Ghostbusters. I don't like the show.
Right.
I'm not as big a fan of the toy line as you are. I mean, does the car count as a character?
Yeah.
Okay, then the car.
Ghost Buggy was
then the
character.
Then the car. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, see? I would have to say Cobra Commander.
Which one?
The one from the cartoon series. One from the 80s cartoon. The one with the high screechy voice.
I know, but like the helmet?
Yeah. Well, I like the helmet one.
Okay.
And from Star Wars, Han Solo. I'll just go with the Han.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Han.
I really have a favorite for Star Wars because I've never been that big of a fan, but Han Solo has always been a plus for me.
Jason Duvall hates Star Wars. Every Star Wars fan, attack him.
Also, who's the better female character, Baroness or Ariel? Well, I can answer that for you.
Wow.
Baroness. Because she's not jailbait.
Whoa. I was not expecting that.
Ariel technically is 16 years old, which makes my shrine even creepier.
Like, he's not asking who you want to, like, you know, unfamily friendly with.
Oh,
he's
gotcha.
Asking what the best character was.
Still, honestly, I'd have to go with Baroness because she's a much more layered character than Ariel. I think.
Wow. Wow, this is weird. Sorry. We are in bizarro world. I would have said Ariel.
Really?
Yeah, I just think she has a, you know. Well.
Kind of hard one. I guess we're on opposite sides of the.
We're on opposite sides, yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
So there you go, Yoda Soup. Try that on for size. Slave Leia Stalker says, thanks for answering my last question, guys.
Oh, he snuck that one in because I didn't see that one today.
I had a sneaky suspicion that Dave might mention the early 90s Joe vehicles as one of his least favorites. As a follow-up question, last week, Duvall mentioned that the 90s was his favorite area of toy collecting in an answer to one of the two questions by one of the other fans. How do you guys feel overall from toys from the 90s? Most of your pickups that you talk about in the show either seem modern... either seem to be either modern or from the 70s, 80s, with the exception of Jurassic Park dinos. Is there anything that you are still looking for from the 90s, or you were able to get everything that you wanted at that time? Says, for me personally, it was fun time to be collecting. I finally had action figures of the X-Men, Grand Moff Tarkin, Slave Leia. I got pretty wrapped up in the excitement of the impending Star Wars prequel trilogy. Of course, we know how those turned out. And Marvel movies, but looking at those same 1990 figures now, I'm far happier with my more recent Marvel Legends and super articulated Hasbro vintage line from Star Wars. I still got to love that first Slave Leia figure, though. I always seem to end up paying over the butt for what I wanted in the 90s, whereas at least in the early 2000s, there were more options to get a hold of toys at a better price. Most of my 90s toys I've either sold on or given to my son. Although I still have the obligatory comic box full of Power of the Force 2 and Episode 1 figures that I can't shift for love nor money. The only 90s toy that forever seemed to elude me and is still on my want list is the Star Trek Next Generation Enterprise Bridge. They seem to come up fairly regularly, but never at quite the right price.
I guess the short version is I'm not a huge fan of 90s toys. The person that really should talk to is Dan. Dan loves. I mean, he loves those early Marvel figures and the Toy Biz DC figures.
Yes.
That's like his new kick. And that was like Turtles' heyday, really. I mean, they started like in 88, 89, but they were big in the 90s.
Yes.
I don't really like the Playmate. It's not that I don't like the Playmates Star Trek stuff. It's just not my favorite.
Right.
I've gotten in a huge argument with Wheeler about that. I prefer the Galoob. He prefers the Playmates. It's just, I don't know, like 90s toys are weird to me because they look more primitive than they should be.
Right.
Like there's stuff from the 80s that looks more sophisticated and better sculpted than a lot of stuff from the 90s. 90s was the last gasp of toys for kids.
Right.
And it looks it. A lot of those toys are clearly designed, you know, for kids. So there wasn't an emphasis on sculpting. There was an emphasis on looking bizarre and weird and crazy. And with a line like Turtles, that's great. That worked for it. A line like Next Generation, not so much.
Right. I agree.
They look weird. So, yeah, I'm not a big 90s toy fan.
Yeah, Danny's really the one that, you know, to talk about 90s toys. I mean, there are some 90s stuff like Skeleton Warriors and stuff like that I love, you know.
Yeah.
Police Academy technically is a 90s.
Well, a big chunk of my Hasbro bookcase or my Kenner bookcase is from the 90s.
Yeah, so... I mean, a lot of good stuff in the 90s, and, you know, that was what – the 90s is what got me back into toy collecting, so that's kind of –
It's when I started, too. I started with Power of the Force, too.
But 80s is still my love, so.
Yeah, I mean, 80s is my main thing, and then – I would say – well, Star Wars and G.I. Joe are my main things, but they had their heyday in the 80s.
Right. So, well, there you go, guys. That wraps it up. Brings us to the end of another show this week on Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Make sure you check out our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys, at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Support them by doing that. You help us continue the show each and every week. And we will be back next week with a brand new show. And David,
you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Hey, the tour bar's closed, people. I got a dog with a bleeding back. I got to go. Peace out.
Thoughts, opinions, and nerd rants are solely those of your hosts and do not represent those of our sponsors.